The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Bernie Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
And welcome again to Bob Bernie Live. If you've been listening, some of you may be saying, you know, Bob, I tuned into your program to be uplifted and encouraged, and all you're talking about today is suffering and pain and persecution. I'm just trying to be honest with you. Now, I hope you're never persecuted. And I hope and pray that you never suffer. But I got news for you. Scripture says the blessed people, the chosen people, will be persecuted and will suffer. Just before the break, I read to you Luke 6:22. Listen to this in Romans 8:35, one of my favorite portions of Scripture. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? What do you think Paul is implying there? If we were not to expect tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, and so on, if that was not going to come, why do you think Paul was warning the church at Rome, hey, I just want you to know, when this comes, none of it can separate you from the love of Christ. In other words, when these things come, don't assume that God no longer loves you. Don't assume that you have fallen out of favor with God and that God is punishing you. Don't assume that. Now, it's true that God corrects us. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. There's no doubt that some of the suffering that comes upon us, we bring upon ourselves, but certainly not always. Certainly not always. Let's go on in Scripture. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, that's part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Well, what is Jesus implying here? You're going to have a whole lot of enemies. You're going to have people who curse you. You are going to have people who hate you. You are going to have people who despitefully use you and persecute you. And when that happens, don't think it's strange, don't think it's weird, and don't retaliate. You love. I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. You see, if we develop a proper theology of persecution and suffering, then when it comes, we know how to respond. First and foremost, we don't fall into the pits of despair because we think God has forsaken us. No. You may be specially chosen to be persecuted so that you can demonstrate to those who persecute you the love of Christ. That is a special blessing. You have been specially chosen to be given the opportunity to show Jesus. Earlier, I was talking to you about a Nigerian pastor who just recently was beheaded because he refused to recant. He refused to denounce Christ. And he blessed those who cut off his head. Now, I don't know whether those Muslims who beheaded him will ever come to Christ and accept Jesus as Savior. But I'll tell you this, they will never, ever be able to forget that as they cut that man's head off, he blessed them and forgave them. Then in Matthew 5:11, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, how do we usually look at this word blessing? Well, that's when you get a new car. Oh, God, thank you for this wonderful blessing. That's when you get a raise at work. Oh, God, thank you for this extra money. What a special blessing. That's when you get a better house or maybe your first house. Oh, this house is such a blessing. That's when you get a good report from the doctor. The doctor says, hey, all of your tests came through clear. You're healthy as a horse. And you say, oh, that is such a blessing. When was the last time you heard someone say, I am so blessed. I was able to be persecuted today. Huh? When was the last time you heard someone say, you know what? People are saying all kinds of evil things about me, and I just feel so blessed. But that's what Jesus said. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Then what about Romans 12:14? Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. What about Matthew chapter 10? Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life. In other words, sometimes even those who follow Christ are going to lose their house, and they're going to lose brethren and a sister, a father, a mother, a wife, or even children or lands for his sake. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We live in a fallen world, and we have an enemy. And his name is Satan, the devil himself. If we learn anything from the book of Job, we learn that your righteousness does not exempt you from persecution or suffering. Don't forget that Job was the most righteous man on planet Earth. And don't forget, it was God that initiated all those trials and testings and tragedies that befell Job. It was God that initiated that. Don't ever forget that. We often think that it was Satan that came and he initiated it. No. God and Satan were having a conversation because Satan was required to check in occasionally. And it was God who said, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil says, well, the only reason he serves you is because you bless him and protect him. If you took all that stuff away from him, he would curse you to his face. And God said, go ahead. I know Job. And here's what I want you to understand today. Those things befell Job not because he was outside of the will of God or backslidden or disobeying God. Every one of those terrible things that happened to Job came about not because of his disobedience, but because of his righteousness. Here's something you will learn in reading the biographies of the great men and women of God through the centuries. God only chooses his choicest saints to bear persecution and suffering. It's a hard pill to swallow, but true. All right, final break. We'll be right back.
talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome again to Bob Burney Live. If you've been listening this entire hour, you know we've spent the entire hour talking about persecution. Began talking about a pastor in Nigeria that was beheaded. Hundreds, thousands of Christians that have been martyred, massacred in Nigeria simply because of their faith. And then we turn to this thing of a theology of persecution and suffering. And my friend, I hope you're not discouraged. I just want to make sure that you're prepared, because there are false teachers out there that are deceiving the church into believing that if you follow Jesus, life is going to be a bed of roses. Everything is going to be sunshine, roses, and happiness. That simply is not true. It simply is not true. And one of my heartaches concerning the church today is that we are not preparing our congregations with a solid biblical theology of suffering, so when it comes, they will know how to respond. Now, the last segment I was talking about persecution. Suffering is kind of the first cousin of persecution. And the Bible is absolutely filled with verses to help us develop a theology of suffering. Listen to this in 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Now, there's no question there that we will suffer. But Peter tells us there's a purpose, that God is perfecting us. He is making us more like Christ. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen you. In other words, folks, when you suffer, it has a positive purpose. God has a plan and a purpose in every bit of suffering in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Folks, don't ever waste suffering and pain. Don't waste it. What do I mean by that? God either causes or allows, and we debate that all the time. Does God cause it or does God allow it? Who cares? What difference does it make? It never can come to you unless it comes through the sovereign hand of God. And again, we learn that from the book of Job. Job clearly teaches us that nothing can come to you unless it comes through the hand of God. I know I'm being repetitious, but this is so important. Suffering will come to you. You will experience pain physically, emotionally, and probably spiritually. But don't waste it. God has a plan and a purpose to make you more like Jesus and to give you an opportunity to minister to other people, to look them straight in the eye and say, I've been there. I understand. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Then in Romans 5, 3 through 4, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Do you see the pattern that's developing here? We should not be surprised when we suffer. We should not be surprised or think that God has in some way forsaken us. And instead of being consumed with, why me, God? Why am I suffering? Ask God what it is that he wants you to learn. God, Why have you given me the privilege of suffering, and what is the purpose? And I love Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. No matter how much we suffer, it's a temporary thing. We're going to spend eternity enjoying the wonders, the glories of heaven and companionship with Jesus Christ himself. If we are called upon to suffer, it's such a short time compared to eternity. But it's not just the New Testament. Listen to this in Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Did you hear that? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. We usually think many are the afflictions of the backslidden, downtrodden rebels against God. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. So I hear some guy on TV tell me that if I send him a seed faith, I slip him a little bit of money, I will never have any affliction in my life. So I've got that guy telling me that on TV, and then I open God's word and I read, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Who am I going to believe? Well, I hope, my friend, you will believe the word of God. But that verse does not end there. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And David knew what he was speaking about when he wrote that. And then 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And then 1 Peter 3:14, but, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Here's another important part in developing a theology of suffering. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. As we learn that suffering will be a part of the Christian life, we have the privilege of bearing one another's burdens. Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. That's given to you. Again, like Paul with his thorn in the flesh, considered it a gift. And then Matthew 10:38, the very first time we find the word cross in the New Testament, Jesus turned to his disciples and said, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Now, you and I have a difficult time understanding what the cross really means. We think it's a beautiful piece of jewelry. It's a nice, shiny chrome thing that's up in the front of our church or up on the steeple. That's not the way the disciples thought of a cross. The only cross they knew was the place where people were horribly, painfully executed. It was a place of pain, suffering, and yes, death. And Jesus said, if you're not willing to take up your cross, and the disciples knew what that meant, is not worthy of me. Philippians 3:10, I think Paul's life verse, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. I'm out of time, but I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 more verses